Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, I recognise that tune, Judith Holder. I recognise that tune.
I think I do too.
It is our tune.
Oh, it's our tune. Oh, it's that our sounds tune. Like a, that sounds like a Simon Bates thing.
It was. It was Simon Bates. In fact, we use that little jingle he used in our live show, don't we?
We do. We do.
Little scamps that we are. Right. Hello. Now, there might be intermittent banging from next door. I am apologising for that up front. There's nothing I can do. They're still building that house. It's fucking big, Judith, I tell you that. It's dwarfing our house.
What do you mean? The house is big?
The house is bigger than... A lot bigger than ours.
Never.
Yes.
Well, you're not going to like them, are you?
Well, I do like them. I like them very much. But I'm slightly shocked that their new house, I mean, it's under scaffolding and tarpaulins and stuff like that.
Can't really see,
but it's ever so high. It's much higher than our house. I mean, our house isn't a big house, but I was expecting something a bit matchy-matchy.
Well, exactly. But
It's a story taller.
Never. It's a whole story taller.
It's a whole fucking story taller.
They're not taking your light, are they?
You have no right to light.
Oh, do you know somebody else told me that?
Oh, probably me. It's probably me. I repeat myself and you can't remember who told you. You go, oh, someone else told me that. It was probably me. You have no right to light. You've got right to privacy, I think. But I don't think you've got right to light.
Right. But so when you looked at the plans, did you think, you don't think they sneaked up a story? Without
they couldn't do
knowing.
That. We're on a main road, Judith. You can't do that. No, they've got planning permission. He's an architect. They're very, very nice.
Oh, he's and an we... architect?
Yes.
Oh, it's a new best friend for Jeff, then,
oh,
isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, a new play pal for Jeff.
Exactly.
But I have noticed that Jeff hasn't been volunteering to go round and help.
Well, of
he's not putting a hard hat that, on. He's not digging out his steel cap boots again.
He's not.
He's just sort of enthusiastically encouraging and waving. That's all he's doing.
Okay, fine.
It's all fine, but it's going to make our house look like a little fucking black wooden shed. A titchy black wooden shed. Anyway, there we go. And you've got the Thatchers in.
We've got the Thatchers in big time. That sounds like a kind of euphemism, doesn't it, really?
It does.
It
sounds like you're having something done to your privates.
Exactly. God, I mean, it's a bit like, I feel like I'm in a kind of period drama, you know, every time I go outside with a cup of tea, because it's all like piles of straw and river reed, apparently. And
Are they weaving?
They're weaving and scalloping and tufting and cutting, and there's bits of straw all over the floor. It's kind of, if it wasn't costing a bleeding fortune, I'd be quite, you know, up for it. But, oh, God.
But it sounds quite pastoral.
Pastoral rather than pastoral. Okay.
Pastoral.
Have it your way.
No, I'm not too sure. As I said, I doubted myself. Do you know what? Talking about doubting how pronunciations,
yes.
I haven't seen or read or heard the word gauche for a long time.
Oh.
And then this morning I was reading an article, can't remember what it was about, but I saw the word gauche and for a second I couldn't remember how to pronounce it.
Could you not?
Is it gouch? What's gouch? Gauche.
A worry, isn't it? Well, because it sounds a little bit like it might be an art technique, like...
Gouache,
exactly. That's a good word, isn't it? Gouache.
I haven't tried the gouache, have you?
Well, I don't remember what it is, really, but I don't think so. I think it's when you get onto that advanced bit of kind of washes and glazes.
No, it's just a different kind of paint. It's like a cross between watercolour and acrylic.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh,
fucking hell, I'm going to have to Google it now. No, I can't Google it because we're on our...
Don't touch anything. God's sake, don't touch anything.
So you like your Thatchers and you're pleased with their work?
Well, yes. I mean, well, yes, one of them looks exactly like, you know, if you were casting. He's got he's got a leather...
jerkin.
Oh, well, no. He's got a funny leather, you know, like a bit like a cowboy hat, but kind of not exactly. And then he's got a sleeveless T-shirt, as always. But it's perishing cold and shorts, obviously.
Obviously.
And he's got the kind of hair that's sort of a bit thatch-like itself. Gosh. And
he was born to thatch.
I think he was. And one of them is called Mark. So he's Mark Thatcher. You know what I mean? Mark Thatcher.
Do you remember him? He was Margaret Thatcher's slight idiot son, the twin.
Exactly.
Twin to Carol, who got lost in the desert for 10 days.
That's
when
he
was on a racing driver thing. 10 days lost in the desert.
I'd forgotten they were twins. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yes, he was. And I think the thing is, we all knew that he was her favourite, wasn't he? You know, Carol
was...
She
made it obvious. She did.
I met Carol and Margaret, and I met them together. Had to, you know, because she did the Aspel show hundreds of years ago, which I was producing. And... oh, yeah, I mean, Thatcher, you know, Carol was sort of very much in tow, almost a bit like a PA, you know, Alan Partridge.
It's a bit like that.
Yeah. Carol, where have you done with that? Carol, make a note of that, will you?
Well, I met her quite a few times when I used to have...
Oh, right, okay.
Well, no, I mean, she didn't come on my show, but she was on the new show before mine or whatever. And I had a little job on LBC, which I lost, obviously, because you know me. I get fired quite a lot. The LBC, anyway, it's all in the memoir. And it's involved, the firing happened after, quite a difficult incident in which I smashed a very large plate glass window, sort of accidentally, but there was some malice. You'll have to read all about it.
Oh, my God. Now, listen. Stream. I've actually seen Margaret Thatcher in her underwear, so there, no.
Oh, my God.
So there, no.
Did you walk in without knocking?
Well, no, because obviously you have to do that a lot, don't you, with when you're, you know, people are in their dressing rooms, you have to brief them.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a lot of time for me.
Was she a fine figure of a woman, Judith? And was her underwear good or was it
very
on my
good.
Scale?
Oh, yes, that was what struck me. I mean, I tried not to study it, you know, but it was very, do you remember Janet Rager at the time?
Yeah.
It was all very matchy-matchy. It's a slip-on and then, you know, quite nice... firm underwear, firm bra, I think, and a nice but all matchy, very lovely, very lovely.
Oh,
I think muted pink, as I recall.
Gosh, if only you'd had a smartphone in those days.
I know.
You could have sold that for a couple of quid.
Couldn't I?
Anyway, we've got a new toilet seat, so.
Oh, good.
It's like living in a hotel, to be quite honest, after not having a toilet seat. You just think, oh, this is posh, isn't it? Now, they've changed the design on the Philip Stark toilet seat. And it just used to be a round hole for my round arse, right? And it's gone into a slight petal shape. It's wider at the back and narrower at the front.
Oh, don't know. I don't particularly like where we're heading now. I'm just saying.
I don't know why they've done that. All I'm going to say is I don't know why they have to mess around with the design of the lavatory seat. Just leave it alone.
Exactly. I mean, we could say that about a lot of things, couldn't we?
We could. We'd be at risk of being moany old minis. Now then, I'm not going to moan for a bit because I had a lovely birthday.
Good. Yeah, tell us more.
You and Daisy sent very well chosen, thoughtful gifts.
Oh, yeah.
I got bulbs from you. I got auruncular bulbs and dahlia bulbs. I'm going to have a garden week next week when I have a spare day because I got myself a couple of David Austin roses as well because I had vouchers. And Daisy bought me one of the Uniqlo cross body bags.
Oh, did she?
Yes, she did.
Oh, that was a clever purchase,
Daisy. I've got one
in a
yellow. It's a yellow with a tint of mustard in it. The turmeric rides again.
The spring range. You've got the spring range.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard about it. Yeah.
Well, you won't look back. I mean, there is no looking back once you've got a Uniqlo body bag.
Yeah. Oh, she's such a cross baddie. I got very nice gifts. Jeff wrapped everything beautifully.
I saw.
He's very good at wrapping his Jeff. Oh. And we went to Margate, and I'll just big up the hotel. It's called 42 Guest House, Margate. And it's a series of, they're all called Guest House. So there is hotels in Bath, Brighton and York. Very comfortable. Seaview. Phoebe booked this for us.
Oh, Seaview.
Seaview. And get this, right, Judith.
Cool.
Right.
What?
See what you think about this. What? A help yourself feeding trough on every landing, including free tubs of ice cream.
Never.
It was like, imagine a sort of oval shaped wooden kitchen island, right?
Yes.
And with cupboard doors, and you opened the cupboard doors, and there were fridges in there, and then there were cupboards above with there were jars on the countertop, there were jars of sweets, and there were flapjacks. I think so. I didn't really touch those, but there were brownies as well, and then there was a little freezer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fridge size freezer, half size, you know, with all the ice, tubs of ice.
What, and you could just help yourself.
Yeah, and choc ices.
Choc ices?
Well, Jeff had two tubs of ice cream and two two choc ices. We were only there one night.
Yes, I'm proud of him. I'd have done the same, at least, and also wrapped a few brownies and a bit of flapjack for later.
Well, I did see a couple filling, because they had the little stripy sweet bags available as well.
Oh, like I like the sound of this.
Yes, I know, but I saw a couple filling several bags to take home for their grandchildren. I thought, no, you can't do that.
A bit much. I don't think I would probably do that.
But well, I tell you what I liked about this hotel.
Yes.
Was I think that dark-roomed hotels have had their day.
Yes, I don't think they were ever really very good in the first place, but there you go.
I think they were of their time, and they were, you know, they were sort of had a glamour about them, but this was so fresh. It had a slightly 30s feel to it, and it had its own bath and shower in a little corridor space. It was very, very comfortable, Judith.
Very
I think
nice.
You'd have liked it. Very good evening meal. Very good evening meal.
Go on.
Well, I had, and I don't normally choose pork, because I don't really like it. But to me, it was like a pork cheek.
It was just
a solid round of meat, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd taken all the fat and the crackling off that, because I don't think you have that with a pork cheek. Okay. And then they had a wafer of crackling sort of stuck like an ice cream wafer into
like
the top.
Like a sail. A sail.
Yes, Judith, absolutely. And it was in a miso and soy glaze.
Oh.
And I had spring greens and a salad with that.
Oh, I like a spring green.
Guess what
I
Jeff
might have
had?
Chosen that. Steak.
He had steak and chips. So disappointing, isn't it? So disappointing.
Might we be the same? Might we be exactly the same? I know.
And then he said, "Oh, I might have a look at the pudding menu." I said, "You will not. There's three choc ices upstairs."
Absolutely.
Anyway, we'll discuss the art I saw in Culture Corner, because we did see some art. Now, what have you been up to in the village?
In the village, we had a very exciting night on Saturday night, where we had, the village hall organised, well, the church really organised a bingo night, right? And in aid of the church and the local food bank. So we sort of thought we should go and support and everything. Have you ever been to a bingo night? I mean, not hypochondriacs bingo night. Or
not
a themed
our kind
bingo.
Of bingo.
No, exactly.
Not themed bingo. A proper
exactly.
bingo. Specialist. Eyes down.
Yes.
I have to say, I can picture myself in a bingo hall. I don't know whether I was doing something for a telly job or whatever.
Almost
I feel I have experienced the atmosphere.
Yes. I mean, I have too. But anyway, it was very nice to see people. But, well, two things struck me. First of all, it's quite hard. I mean,
you
have to concentrate. It took me ages to work out that all the numbers were in columns of, 10s, 20s, 30s. So every time, for the first two games, you know, I was thinking, well, oh, God, I haven't found that one yet. Oh, God, I've got to keep that one in my back pocket and do, oh. So
you basically are admitting live on air that you couldn't play bingo.
Well, I was really struggling until somebody said, look, you do realise they're in the columns. Oh, yes. But even then, you have to concentrate. I mean, you know, it's like sometimes it's two lines in a box and sometimes it's one. And then, whew, you know. Anyway, we played 10 games at least.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, I know. And the prizes were Easter eggs. And they started with those little ones and then they got to the really, you know, big ones, like big ones in boxes.
Yeah.
And there weren't that many of us there. And, you know, we won nothing. I mean, nothing. We did not even win one of those teeny weeny weeny ones.
And that's not like you, Mike. It's really not like you.
It's not. And 12 strips of raffle tickets and absolutely fuck all won. So, you know, I was a little bit...
That makes me laugh a lot. And I bet the village were talking about afterwards. I bet as you left, looking slightly huffy... I think somebody would have said to somebody else, I think Judith's a bit disappointed that she didn't win anything. She's an only child, you know, that's what she's like.
I did find it quite difficult to deal with, but there you go. Right. I think they raised 500 quid, so that was rather good.
That's good.
Yes,
for
yes.
worthy causes as yes, well. Good. And what's this other? You've got some culinary news for us.
Culinary? You're having a lot of trouble with your pronunciation today, aren't you?
Now, hold on. Talk me through. What have I said wrong about culinary?
You said it right now. You just said culinary or something. Culinary. Culinary. That's right. Right.
I think I did it northern style. I don't know
what you did.
Culinary. Okay.
Okay.
It's another difficult word.
Yes. Yes.
Culinary. Oh, fucking hell. Go on then. What have you bought?
Well, guess what we've bought? I mean, honestly, it's a bit. Listen, we actually had a line about it, didn't we, in the stage show, which is that people with air fryers have become boring and sort of evangelistic about it. You know, oh, we got the air fryer. Oh, it's so good. Oh, cool. We never look back. Oh, don't you see everyone? So I went to the butcher's and I bought two pork chops the other day. And anyway, he put them in the bag and he said, these would be good in your air fryer. Oh, I haven't got one. Oh, you want to buy an air fryer? Absolutely brilliant. Oh, I think like it. And then the other butcher came out. He said, oh, we don't look back. Off they go again.
Yeah.
So
were they selling them out the back?
No, not that I know of. But anyway, I went off thinking, right, OK, well, it's no good. We've got to join in, haven't we? It's no good just moaning
You're
about
so
this trend.
Easily led, Judith.
Yes,
you're
I am.
So easily led. Right, two people have told you to buy an air fryer. So where did you go to buy your air fryer?
Well, we went to Robert Dyer. I'm a very big fan of Robert Dyer's because I think it's a lot cheaper than Lakeland. And normally, you know, they're very good. They know what they're doing and everything. And it's great. Anyway, so we both went in, you know. Oh, yes, come on.
It's a big day out.
It's a big day out, big purchase. Fantastic. So this woman, I mean, you know what I'm like. I can't be able to work it out myself. So anyway, this woman comes over and tries to explain the different models to us and how they work. Well, she might as well have been talking in Mandarin. I've got no idea. Literally, the two of us just said, and the wives have no idea what she just said. Just no idea. So then we went to Lakeland. Gave up on her. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Went to Lakeland a few doors down. It was a bit more expensive. Anyway, we were talking to the woman. Sorry, this is getting a bit boring. Talking to the woman, it was almost... And this bloke walks past. Oh, are you thinking of buying an air fryer? Oh, we've never looked back. We use ours all the time. Absolutely brilliant. Roast potatoes, blah, blah, blah. Off he goes. It's like... It's
so
like
that's three people now who told you to buy an air fryer. You need to buy one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost like Lakeland sort of employ this bloke to walk past.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them.
Exactly.
Very clever, Lakeland.
Exactly. So.
And also, central casting, make it a bloke. A woman would be too
obvious. Oh, yes. Yes, I agree. Anyway, so we bought this thing. I mean, it was perhaps about 80 quid or something like that. Enough. Massive, great.
How
thing.
Big is it? That's what I want
big.
To know. Is it the size
it's
of a
big.
Chair seat? Like, you know, a dining room chair seat?
Yes, sort of a bit bigger than that, really. I mean, Mike had to back the car up and they had to get a trolley and, you know, it took two of us to lift the bloody thing.
How did you get it into your house? Oh. Did you and Mike manage it between you?
Yes, we've got one of those funny... I tell you what we have got there. It's a brilliant purchase. It's I digress, but you know those things that... if they're delivering big things, those removal things.
Yes, yes, yes. A sort of tippy-uppy. Yeah, like, yes, a tippy-uppy thing on wheels.
Brilliant purchase for the older people.
I've told Jeff we need one of those. Because sometimes when he's moving a lot of frames, you know, we had one of those. I'm sure we had one once, but I think it fell to pieces. But anyway, there. Okay, so you've got a tippy-uppy wheelie thing.
Yeah.
They have a technical name, but fuck that, we don't know what it is. And I won't be able to pronounce it anyway.
You won't. I found something else to do and left him to look at the instructions. Poor sod. Yeah.
And you just plug it in. They're electric, yeah.
But apparently you have to keep unplugging it when you're not using it. Like, we're not going to do that, are we? Anyway, we found somewhere for it on the counter. Mike spent ages and ages working out how to cook two duck breasts, and honestly at the end of it we've got raw duck breasts literally and some burnt to the cinder cabbage, because it's got two compartments.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to be able to do it so like the cabbage finishes at one time and the meat finishes at the other. So far we've had it for about 4 days, nothing has worked in it, and it's awful.
Don't name the mate, because it's not fair, because I actually think this could be your fault. Sorry.
Yes, I think
that was a bit abrupt, wasn't it? I meant Mike's fault, not your fault, obviously.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Almost bound to be that we haven't kind of worked it out yet. But, I mean, you just think, oh, God, you know, and then you think, oh, there's the oven. Why don't we just put the bleeding oven on? You know, what have we done this for?
Yeah, and then we can go and watch half an hour of telly while they cook.
Exactly. So far, I'm not sure whether... But the trouble is, I don't know. Even I, who, you know, as you know, the expert at taking things back. I mean, come on, I'm very, very rarely defeated by this. Yeah. And we have still got the box, but I'm not quite sure whether we'll...
It's all splattered in duck fat and burnt bits of cabbage. I don't think you've got an excuse, really. No, I don't think you can take it back and say, I can't work it.
We're just a bit stupid.
I think what you need, Judith, is you need to just tell everyone in the village which mate you've got and wait for someone to say, well, I've got one of those and I wouldn't be without it. And then you can say, well, will you come round to my house and show me how to use the fucking thing? We're going to get emails and people are going to tell us, well, I wouldn't live without it. I couldn't, you know, if my house was burning down, it'd be the only thing I took. I'd leave the kids, I'd leave the old man, but I'm taking my air fryer. Right, well, I'm so glad you've gone through all that, because...
Has it made you feel good?
It made me. It makes me feel like, because I, you know, I'm very short of space in my kitchen. I've only got a galley kitchen, so anything I have in that kitchen, I have to work. It has to work very hard.
It's got to earn its
space. It's got and I just don't think that. I mean, you know, Jeff and I, we don't cook that much. We're not that interested. I just don't think it would get enough use.
Well, you haven't even got a blender, have you?
And funnily enough, Judith, my sister said, "What do you want for your birthday?" I said, "I want a stick blender."
The ones that you put in the soup.
Yes.
Have you got one of those now?
Well, no, she hasn't bought it yet because she's refusing to use Amazon at the moment. I sent her a link to the one I wanted from Amazon. She said, "I'm not using Amazon." I said, "Well, all right, I'll buy it. And you give me the money."
Well, this is a step in the right direction.
Well,
Jenny,
I don't even know what I've got it for.
Well, you've got it for soup, and you've got it for I suppose you could kind of mix cakes with it. Might be a bit of a struggle. You have got to watch the soup though, Jenny. Let me just warn you straight away, if you don't make sure that the blade's under the surface,
I'm in trouble.
Splatter over all of the kitchen.
I mean, I have got a soup blender thing.
Oh, well, what have you bought this for then?
I don't know. I haven't bought it yet. I think I'll spend the money on something else.
It's only 20 quid.
I don't know what I was thinking. I'll tell you what I'm going to make, though, this week or next week before Arlo comes again. Jelly. Have you made the boys jelly yet?
Yeah, for their birthday. They loved it because when you could wobble it and everything.
Yeah. Did you put it in a mould, a proper shaped mould?
Of course.
That's what I'm going to fucking get then. I'm going to get a shaped mould. Did you a rabbit or something?
Well, it was at Sienna's house, and it was one of those old-fashioned you know, those things that have got
ceramic
knobs on.
One.
Yeah, no, it's metal.
He refused my shepherd's pie the other day. I got quite sad about that.
Oh, I know.
I just want to do something
it?
That
he'll love that.
That he'll anyway. We'll
also,
talk about
you could
the boys
do blancmange actually, couldn't you?
I don't like blancmange. No, I follow this brilliant account on Instagram called Adventures in Jelly. I'm forever putting it up on my stories on my account, and it's just it does fantastic jellies in different shaped molds, and then they have some way of making it wobble, and their Instagram posts are basically full of wobbling jellies.
Great.
It gives me joy.
It gives me great joy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Good start to the day.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, anyway, I won a Legend of Comedy Award.
I know
this
you
year.
Did.
This
I
year, this
know.
Week. This week, I won a Legend of Comedy Award. Yes, I
That's
did.
Classy, isn't it? Classy. Go on.
I can see it out of the corner of my eye.
Oh.
It's in my study with all
Is
the
it?
Other
Oh, wait
awards.
A minute. Wait a minute. Is it in line behind you for your Zooms?
No,
is it in the shots?
No, it isn't. It's to the side of
well,
me.
Well, I think you know.
No, I don't have shelving behind me. It's a lumper glass or you know,
yeah,
cosmos or whatever. It's
but
one
great,
of those.
How lovely!
Yeah, yes, it was very nice. I popped up to Leicester and I popped down again.
Yes.
I did it in the same night. It's quite easy going to Leicester. It's only an hour and 10 minutes
from
St Pancras, it was quite comfortable. I got the train there. I got a cab from the train station to the venue, which was a cinema called The Phoenix in Leicester.
Oh, yes.
And it was the end of the two-week comedy festival, Leicester Comedy Festival, which has been running for years and years and years. I've done it several times. And then at the end of the awards, there was the Legend of Comedy Award, and my name was called Judith. Well,
Did
I knew it was going to be because otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have bothered getting
well,
on a
that's
train.
Right. So you didn't have to. You didn't have to pretend to be surprised. For
oh no.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
I sort of, you know, I hadn't written a speech though, but I just cobbled something together when I was on stage, and you know, ended up with my animal impressions.
You didn't.
I bloody did. I bloody did. There we go.
You're getting a bit cocky with those, Jenny, if I may say so.
They are so part of the act now, I tell you. Anyway, so that was good. But
lovely.
I had to come back because Tuesday is Nalo Day.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Once upon a time, I'd have stayed in a hotel, got a bit pissed.
Got caught a bit
pissed.
All that.
Maybe, I don't know. Mm. I didn't know anybody there, so I probably wouldn't have done. But, you know, I came back and then Arlo was round and we had a big day out, Judith.
Where'd you go?
We went to Vauxhall City Farm.
Oh, on our coattails, aren't you, if I may say so?
So
Absolutely.
Much so. Yes. So much so.
Right.
But I just thought, well, you know, Judith's done it. She's done the farm trip. And I thought, well, what am I waiting for? I think I was waiting for a nice day, to be quite honest.
Right.
Because last Tuesday, I think it was raining. So anyway, this Tuesday, it was dry. It's on one bus route. It's on, I can catch a bus from outside our house and it takes about 25 minutes to get
Very
there.
Very nice. Perfect.
And it's tucked behind the Vauxhall Tavern, you know, the gay club. And it's sort of, well, I put that photo up on the notice board. You can see, you know, the building that used to be MI5. I'm not sure it is anymore. It looks derelict to me, but when I pass it on the bus, but there we go, I'm not sure.
Right.
And it's all, you know, there's some tower blocks and stuff like that. And there's this sort of lovely community, slightly scruffy, But you don't, they don't charge anyone to go in. You can buy bags of goat food for £1.
Wow.
And there's a cafe, and it's just really...
That's very nice.
It's great. I mean, there were no ponies because they're redoing the pony accommodation. But there was one big fat pig, and he did come out, and Arlo fed the goats. He's animal mad, Judith. I don't know what he's doing living in the middle of London.
Yes, I can see. Yeah. Goats are weird, aren't they? Because they've got those funny oblong irises. Did you notice? Pupils, I mean.
Yeah. We were the goats we fed were not the normal size goats, the pygmy goats.
Oh, little ones.
There was a sort of little ones, yeah. So that's, and it's just at Arlo's height, you know, so he could just sort of put his hands to the fence. And then the goat, they just lick the food off your hand.
Yeah.
And they're so tame and so gentle. And there was absolutely no fear or anything. I mean, I was a bit frightened, but, you know.
Well, because they are a bit frightening. I mean, you know, Eddie was not sure at all. So, yeah, maybe Arlo's going to be a farmer. Maybe he's going to be a farmer.
Well, I can't see the point in that. Oh dear!
I'm glad he saw a little piggy.
It wasn't a little one, Judith. It was a fucking big fat pig.
They're quite dangerous, you know. You wouldn't be feeding them.
I know. Then there was a really ugly, really ugly, massive turkey.
Oh, aren't they ugly?
Oh, so ugly!
Oh, there was two of those in the petting farm.
Oh, you don't want to go near them, do you?
Oh dear! They said, "Oh, if you want to feed it, oh no, thanks."
No, not go near that. Oh God, that funny dangly snood thing they have. Snood. I think it's called a snood or a hood. They really are.
It's unpleasant, isn't it?
They really are. They're fucking hideous, actually. But there we go. Anyway, let us move on to food sensation.
Yes, go on then. Yes.
No, you start.
I haven't got any because it's all been in the bleep air fryer. Nothing. Yet from us at all. Go on.
That's funny. It's like my life. It's like living my life, Judith. Just rather poor quality meals coming out every evening.
Very
I'm sorry about this. I had a good stir fry last night, I will say. Well, I think my birthday dinner was my taste sensation.
Is that your pork cheeks thing?
I'm guessing it was the cheek, but, you know, it might have been bum. I've no idea.
Nice.
But it was nice. And I don't really like pork, but it was very well done. So thank you for that. That guest house, and I haven't really nothing else. Sorry, art. Judith went to the Turner Gallery in Margate.
Oh yes, of course you did.
And there was a sort of very similar to the Haywood exhibition. To be honest, when forms become abstract or something, it was good. But the Haywood show is better, and I hate to say that, but it is. But I really enjoyed it. And then Tracy Emin's studio was open.
Oh, yeah.
Because she has this foundation. It's like in an old bathhouse, you know, which has the men and women on the doors, like in old schools.
Yeah.
And it's just tucked away in Margate on a sort of little street. Mm. And she has this foundation, and she has... painters, you know, younger painters that she gives studio space to. So she was having an exhibition of some of her work and some of her students, and it was interesting and quite good.
Mm, nice idea. Good old Tracy Emin. Does she still live there? Does she still live
there? I think she's got a place in Berlin as well. I think, she's probably... Or a place in France. I think she has, a number of places, Judith.
Does she divide her time?
She divides her time.
Always hated people that said,
I divide my time. We don't like winter in England. That's the other one. We try to avoid January in the UK. Everything, fuck off. Anyway, we've been to the Shell Grotto a number of times.
Oh,
so
yes,
instead
I've been
of
there.
Doing that again, which is wonderful, we went to a salvage yard, you know.
Oh, yes, that had your name on it, didn't it?
It was a bit scruffy, but we bought a chair. Yeah, it needs a bit of repair work, but Jeff's going to get some car body paint, apparently.
Body paint?
I switched off at that point, Judith. Anyway, the other thing that I didn't buy in the salvage yard, but I did look at them, there were two owls made of shells, Judith, and they had your and Daisy's names on them. I said to Jeff, should I buy these for Judith and Daisy? And he kind of went, would they really want them? And I thought, not really, not really. They would, no, neither of them would really want them. They were,
no, probably
they were
sensible.
Sort of, yeah, but, you know, now I regret
nice thought,
it.
Though.
Nice. It was a nice thought, and I regret it. So just, you know, in my okay. head, I have bought you back 2 shell owls, but I didn't actually buy them. So there we go.
Actually. Okay.
Right. Are we on? We are Interculture Corner
well,
now.
I think so,
what are,
there,
what are you offering
we?
Me? What
yes,
are you offering me?
Well, I did a very grown up thing. Thought it was about time that I watched Oppenheimer, really, because I didn't
good,
see it.
Very good.
No. And it's on Amazon Prime. It's about £6 to rent. You have to watch it in 48 hours, which actually is quite a lot. You know, it's quite because it's a big old film. It's a long film.
Oh, you know, you've got your air fryer as well, demanding attention. You must have thought, what a weekend, Judith. What a weekend. You had your bingo. You had Oppenheimer. You had your air fryer. You had to divide your time
carefully. It's good. It's real. Of course, it's good. Why would it have won all the Oscars? I mean, Cillian Murphy is incredible. Oh my God, the blue eyes. Apart from the else, it's a big old film, and it is fascinating and brilliantly done and shocking. It's really, really something. I tell you what struck me. So 2 things really struck me. Is when he made it. You know, he's obviously, you know, he does, pulls it off, this extraordinary thing of making the atom bomb.
Yeah.
And it's done and it's proven and they've tested it and everything. And then they sort of pack it all up on this kind of cart to take away because they're in the middle of the desert. And he watches it go. And you can sort of, you can see him thinking, oh,
what right, have I done?
Okay, what have I done? Right, I'm just, there it is, it's going off and I have no longer have control over it. And then of course it, you know, it's set off in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and eventually they are shown the film of the effects of it. And it's a bit like when you said about the zone of interest, because you don't actually see, you know, you don't see the horrors, so you yeah. see his face watching it, you see his face watching it, and he looks away and he can't look again, and then he looks at, and just this sort of thing, like, you know, what, yeah, what have I done, what have I done? And then of
what
course,
happened to him, how
well
did,
the tide, you know, the tide turns. I mean, you know, the McCarthy era sort of witch hunt, he had, his brother was a communist, they find sort of communist connections in his past, and start, and because of course he starts to say, you know, don't make the H-bomb, please don't make, you know, and he starts to be a little bit of a loose cannon and he speaks his mind, and so the McCarthy witch hunt starts on him, and he's sort of tried, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. Eventually,
and did you manage it all in one go?
No. No, it's too long. It's too long. Okay. It's too difficult. It's a bit too grown up and difficult to do in one go. And then eventually, I mean, he's died, obviously, but he's then finally sort of rewarded, if you like, and admired for his, you know, his integrity, really, a part of his scientific genius. But it takes a while, and he goes through to hell. So
I think Jeff would like this, don't you?
I think he would. Oh, I think he would. Might have
well,
to.
We won't have time this weekend, Judith, because
what are you doing?
Just a quick plug. He's got one of his sales, hasn't he?
Oh, of course he has.
20th century, no, mid-century modern at Dulwich College. Now, it's you have to pay to get in before 3 o'clock. It's only on Sunday, and it opens at 11 till 4. But if you come out at 3 o'clock, it's free.
Oh, that's
but you will
going,
be getting the dregs, mind you. I don't know whether we'll sell anything or not. It depends. You know, we did really well last time, so we're sort of bracing ourselves to not do as well this time. But yeah, we'll be putting the stall up. I'll be manning it. I'll probably wear my crossbody.
Oh, I can tell you now that you'll be wearing your crossbody
I think
body
so.
Bag.
I think so, because
oh,
I think
yes.
that can have the card machine in it.
Whoa!
I'd like to say we take cash, but we don't. But, you know, any cards are welcome. Any cards are welcome. We will take
very
cash.
Good.
Obviously, we'll take cash. Fucking hell. Anyway, books, Judith.
I finished the Elizabeth Strout, which is called Lucy by the Sea, isn't it? It's about lockdown. I kind of warmed to it. I think we talked about it briefly, didn't we? It's very, very slow. It's about a couple that are split up ages ago and then they end up living together in lockdown. And lots of sort of, you know...
Did they have it off?
No. Interestingly, okay. They didn't. But they sort of end up, I think, you know, living together probably in a kind of... It's interesting in that I suppose we did all go through a bit of a revaluation, didn't we, about what was important to us and what wasn't. And it did, you know, and so it's, I suppose it's a bit like about the relationships with her daughters and her ex-husband in that sense. So it was a clever sort of study of a little aspect of COVID.
Would you say good Good but ploddy. That's or is that think, too
no,
harsh?
No, I think that's exactly what I would say, actually.
Okay, good but ploddy.
Bit slow. Okay, but okay. So, yeah, I finished it. You know, I did finish it. Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I will finish The Wren. It's extremely well written, but it's very depressing. At the moment, it seems to be one slightly shit bloke after another. So what I've done is I've downloaded a whole variety of new books because I haven't found the one recently. Which I find terribly upsetting.
Oh, it is. It's a horrible thing, isn't it?
I like to settle on a book and get into it and feel like I'm enveloped by it, like a duvet of book. That's what I like, and I haven't had that for a while. Yeah. Now, I'll just tell you the one that I have that I think might have promise. Mm. I'm opening up my app now just so that I don't make
your
any
app?
Silly mistakes.
What app? Your Audible
the
app?
The Audible app, yes. Okay. We're also listening to Bertram's Hotel by Miss Marple because that's the only way Jeff and I can get to sleep unless we take loads of alcohol or drugs. It's called The List of Suspicious Things by Jenny Godfrey.
Oh, right.
And it's set in the time of the Yorkshire Ripper, and it's about a girl. I think she's probably she's maybe 12. I'm not sure because I've only listened to about the first page. It's slice of life. And I think it's had very, very good reviews. The List of Suspicious Things by Jenny Godfrey. Let's see how we get on with that.
Okay.
I probably will finish The Wren, but it makes me feel a bit sad.
Yeah, I'm not sure that... Is life a bit short for that, really? I think it might be for me.
I don't know.
You might plod on, but
I might, because the quality of writing is very good, you know.
Okay.
I'll go, Okay, right, TV now. Come on, get some telly down us.
Well, we finished Masters of the Air on Apple TV about the they called the bloodied 100th, actually, weren't they?
Yeah.
The American Air Force that just sort of went to die, really. Terrible sort of casualties. Finished the drama, which was very good. And then we've just watched also the documentary, which, I mean, blimey, Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks both execed it. And Tom Hanks does the voiceover. Extraordinary amount of footage.
That on Netflix too?
No, it's on Apple TV.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're both on Apple TV, I'm afraid. But
I've got Apple TV because we're half an episode from finishing Masters of the Sky, and I think there's going to be sadness. I think there's going to be a bit of sadness before it finishes.
Yeah. It's been a great series, hasn't it?
It's been so well done. Yeah. And I really have been on the edge of my seat. You know, rather cliche statement where you jump. I have jumped out of my skin and sat on the edge of my seat.
I know when they get hit.
Yeah.
The awful flak stuff coming through and everything. Yeah. Actually, with Oppenheimer and that, I kind of feel I've had quite a big sort of module.
Education, you know, you've actually got a history degree now. You've done it. Well done, Judith. Well done.
It's the only way I'm ever going to get a history degree.
We still like Kin, but we've been too busy and we binged Blown Away, which is the glass blowing.
Oh, yes, you get competitive show.
Jeff and I love that. And the interior design challenge, I think, is on very good form.
It is. I watched the second one last night. That's jolly good. What else have we been watching? Oh, we watched the end. We finished The Rise and Fall of Boris Johnson, which I mentioned last week. But yeah, you must watch
it. Is that a Channel 4?
Yes, it's Channel 4. Very classy. And we've just watched the one with Dominic Cummings. Or who obviously knew where all the dead bodies were. Oh, my God, did he know where all the dead bodies were? And boy, does he come out with them one after the other when he's sacked, of course. Do you know that when Boris Johnson was little, apparently they moved 42 times as a family? Because I think Stanley was sort of, his dad was... You know, forever changing his jobs and things. I don't know, but it was.
That's kind of
childhood.
You know, lots of army families move a lot.
Well, that's true, but even
but not 42 times. That's just that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's weird. Anyway, that's we can't give him too many excuses, but I don't know. Anyway, it's all desperate. Emails, Judith, this week.
Emails,
they're all quite bottom based, aren't they?
They are, really. Very scatological, I'm afraid. Which
mostly wanking and weeing, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is. So we put out a kind of Well, it wasn't our idea, to be fair. It was one of the owls that had seen the show in London, and she said, "Why don't you ask people about their first orgasm experience? Because you with your banister and me with hairbrush, as it happens." Yeah. So we've only had one reply actually, which is a bit disappointing.
Slightly disappointing. Yeah, it was very similar to yours. This is from Rose, aged 62 and 8 months. That your email on this week's podcast about first orgasms, my pronunciation's orgasms, made me laugh so much and reminded me that my first experiments involved a hairbrush, the handle end, not the bristles.
So obviously, few people had the same idea.
Absolutely.
But yes, we were expecting a few more. We were hoping for a few more of
those. Yeah, yeah. Come on, everybody. I mean, there might be some of you going, "Well, I'm still waiting. I've tried hairbrushes, I've tried Nivea bottles, I've done the banisters, and I've still not managed one."
And then we're on to weeing, really, because we had a good old chat last week about the docking procedure when, you know, the loo seat was off and weeing. So Louise, 54 and 10 months, writes in to say that I just had to pause the podcast to have a wee as I was laughing so much at Jenny's wild wee techniques and the strange sensation of pissing over a closed toilet seat. Well, yeah. Anyway, she says, "My daughter is 18 now, but was a huge fan of wild toileting when she was a toddler. She once announced to a crowded cafe, 'Nana, sometimes a wild wee turns into a wild poo and you have to kick leaves over it.'" And she says, "I'm embarrassing." And she says, "In Bristol, we coopy down instead of squatting. A friend from Essex thought we were winding her up and had to check." But yeah, that is right. They're coopy down.
Coopy on down. Had you heard the coopy on down?
Yes, I had actually, because I spent a bit of time as a child in Western Supermare. So yes, I do remember. Had you heard of it? Had you heard of
No, I have to say, I did not know the phrase coopy down. Well, but now I do. And I think I've managed the pronunciation.
I think you're fine.
Okay. And then last on the lavatory theme. "Hi there, Jenny and Judith. Love the podcast. This is from Jeanette Long. Had to smile when he spoke about the hovering squat. She's now got severe arthritis, unable to do said hovering squat.
I bet.
So she's purchased for herself some disposable paper toilet seat covers.
Brilliant, Jeanette.
Just the job to keep you well clear of any germs on public toilet seats. And flushable afterwards. You don't want to have to scrumple it up and put it in your bag. Tiny packet hidden in the handbag for when needed and useful for grandchildren to use if necessary in public toilets too."
Jeanette. No flies on Jeanette, is there? Not on her ass either.
No flies anywhere near. I'm so grubby, I never think about it. You know my standards of hygiene.
Well, they are, but sometimes they do still quite shock me. But yes, I think my standards are getting worse, either as I'm getting older or as I've got to know you better.
Yeah,
one of the two.
Mother was absolutely right. Very bad influence. Really shouldn't come round for tea. I don't want to see that girl in my house. Anyway, there we go. I think we have done ourselves and our listeners proud. We hope you've enjoyed our little offering this week.
Of what, I'm not quite sure, but there you go. Oh,
it's all we can do. It's the best we can do. You've taken the best of us, okay. What have you got planned for the rest of the day, Judith?
I'm going to cycle to Whitney because it's not raining. A bit of gardening to do. That'll be fine, actually. What about you?
I have to make a card for a poorly relative.
Oh, do you?
Yes,
well,
I do.
Got into that, haven't you?
My sister told me I had to, so I'll just do what she says.
Very wise.
Oh, God. All right. Right. Then. Anyway, love you and leave you, and speak again this time next week, and listen whenever you fancy it.
Absolutely. Toodle pits. Send us some emails. Older.
Commit to the end, Judith.
We're off. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.